So that is why you call, you see, this life. Life, in other words, is nothing but, you see, the pulse and the beat and the breath of life. Now that's also a definition. There is a pulse, there is breathing, there is a throb of life. It is throbbing all over your everywhere. You know, every cell in your body is throbbing. So that's all that is life, you see. So if you give a definition, but we are not really talking about that life, because nobody can say anything about that life except give definitions. You call it life force, this and the other. But the living, the living implies all the other problems that the so-called living creates. So there is a demand for how to live. That is really the problem. The problem of all the problems is how to live. And for centuries we have been brainwashed that this is how you should live. So if that is not satisfactory, you find out another way and call that how to live. And it go on and on and on and on. All that may be nonsense. It's because it has not given you peace. You know, all the time there is a constant battle going on inside of you. A war going on inside of you. As long as there is a war inside of you, there isn't going to be a peaceful world at all. Even assuming for a moment that war has come to an end and you are at peace with yourself, that will not change anything, because you see, a man who is at peace with himself will be a threat to his neighbor. So he will liquidate you. There is a danger, you see. So the important problem is, you see, can you bring this war to an end within yourself? Is there any way? So all the solutions that you have are the ones that are responsible for this battle that is going on. How to live? So the how has to go. So then you ask me, how can that how go? Can you help me? First of all, you are not sure of that. You have not even come to that point that there is a despair. Then only you can deal with the despair. As long as you are moving away, running in the direction of wanting to be free from despair, it is just not possible for you to handle that, you see. You know, that's all that I'm saying. So that is the reason why I say, if that is the problem, you don't look for solutions. There may be 150 solutions, you see, but you can't try all of them. So obviously, all that you have tried, that has failed. And so you say you are in despair. That despair will act. That's all that I'm saying. What is the action? That action can never be within the framework of your thinking. Any action that is within the frame of or the product of your thinking will inevitably create despair. It may give you certain results for a while, you know. So certain experiences, and they always demand more and more and more of the same. And then you see, this keeps the whole thing going, and then that gives you hope. The hope is here, and you say the situation is hopeless. The situation is not hopeless. The hope is here now. Because as you say, the despair is there. And so the hope to resolve that, to solve that, to handle that, come to grips with and find out if there is any way of freeing yourself from the despair. Instead of, you see, letting that act, you are running away from that and still finding out if there is any way that you can be free from despair. So that applies to all the situations in life. Either you are stuck with your frustration, which is despair, or something else, you know. So what do you want to do in such a situation? You see, you have to find out the solution for yourself. If I give you another solution, it will be like the hundreds of solutions that you already have. You will add this to the list. More difficult, one more solution you have. So if there is any solution, that solution has to come from that which you are trying to be free from and not from any outside agency. That's going to act. You see, that action is something extraordinary. If once you see that despair problem is solved, all the others are solved, because every other problem is the variation of this thing. So you never want to solve the problem. You are more interested in solutions. You know. That's why I am repeating the same thing over and over again. In 10 different words. My vocabulary is limited, so I have to use the same words. You can increase your vocabulary and find new phrases, but it doesn't serve any purpose. The instrument which you are using, which is thinking, can never accept the fact that this problems can be solved here and now, because that has come into being through years. So much of time has taken for you to be what you are. You are living in a world of your experiences, and it has taken so many years for you to be what you are. So that is the only instrument you have. You have no other way of handling these problems. So that cannot conceive of the possibility of finding out a solution here and now. So it is always interested in pushing it further and further and further away. So there is always tomorrow, there is always this time, you know. So because this functions in the field of time, it cannot conceive the possibility of anything happening, any action other than the action in the field of time. This is not metaphysics that I am talking. So, the solution, if there is any, has to be here and now. You see, if you are hungry, you see, hunger must be satisfied. You see, if the hunger cannot be satisfied, it will burn you out. So, this is a frightening situation for you. So, you are satisfied with, you see, the crumbs. Which are the solutions that people throw at you? See, or waiting for somebody to give you a full loaf of bread, or some miracle man to multiply, you see, the loaves of bread, you know. But that's not going to happen even then, you see. But you can't wait until then, you see. So this is, there is no real hunger there. You don't want to solve this problem, because you will find yourself without a problem. So what gives you strength, you see, energy is, you see, trying to solve your problem. You see, this happens always. When once you achieve your goal, what you have there is frustration. Even in sex act, you see, which is so powerful in the life of an individual, it is the preparation, you see, it is the build-up, it's the tension. That is the attractive part of it. So when once the tension is built up there, this body is demanding release from the tension, which you call pleasure. You see, release. It wants to be released from the tension which you have built up. So it wants a release, you see, which you call, you see, the orgasm or whatever you want to call it. So there is a tremendous relief. So what is there now? You see, the vacuum. So in exactly the same way, all actions, you see, are functioning in the same field. You build up tension, and then, you see, it demands, you see, release from the tensions. So all these therapies, you see, that man has invented are really not going to solve, because then, you see, you want, the other day I was reading an article in Playboy, how to keep the orgasm going for half an hour. Oh my God. They are doing experiments. You know, they have succeeded. There is one doctor there in California, and he has succeeded in that. But no man can, you see, help the woman But through artificial means, they are, with the help of gadgets, establish the fact that you can have the orgasm for half an hour. By that. All the other specialists say it's only for a few seconds, you see. But anyway, that's why I mentioned that is the demand, you see, for the extension of that agony. You see, you call it pleasure. It is not pleasure. You see, it's tension. So you work hard to achieve a goal. When once you achieve the goal, you are exhausted. You are finished. So the charm is lost for you. You see, working for it, building up all these tensions, that is all that you are interested in. When once you are there, it's finished for you. So you have lost. So you start all over again. You don't want, you see, to be without any problems. You are yourself the problem. If you don't have any problems, you create problems. The end of the problem is the end of you. So these problems will remain until the end. So you go, then the problems go. 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Depends upon how long you are going to live. The hope remains. It's not a pessimistic situation. It's a really a realistic situation, you know. So I'm not giving you any solutions. Please, for goodness sake, look at your problem if you can. You see, you can't separate yourself from the problem. That's really the problem. And say, this is the problem. So the problem is created by, you see, the opposite of it. Why do you feel unhappy, first of all? Why do you feel this feeling of unkindness in you? Because of the goal, it is that creates the opposite. You can watch for yourself. I don't have to tell you. I should be like that. I ought to be that. You see, I must be like that. So I am not that. You see, it is that has created the opposite of it. That's all that I am pointing. If that is gone, this also is gone. This man cannot be a cruel man. Man cannot be an insensitive man, not sensitive within the framework of your cultural mores. You see, but this is a different kind of, you see, a sensitivity. So as long as you are pursuing those ideals that the society or the culture has placed before you, so long you will remain the opposite of it. And the hope that one day through some miracle or through some help of somebody, some God, some guru, you will be able to resolve the problem. Not a chance. So I cannot create the hunger in you. How can I create the hunger in you? So if you have a hunger, you see, you will look around, you see, and you will find that whatever is offered to you is not satisfying. If you are satisfied with the crumbs, all right. That's what the gurus are doing, throwing some crumbs at you, you see. You know, like the dog on the leash, you see. You see, that's all. The humans are like animals, no difference. If we accept that fact, we are not different, then, you see, there's a better chance. Then they will act as humans. When man ceases to pursue the goal of a perfect man, the solutions that you have, this is not going to help you to solve your problem. Yes, please.
This constant change that we want to come about with our inner self, not necessarily changing the world, trying to find our inner self. And we do meditation, or we do yoga, or we do whatever we feel.
Why do you do them? Why do you do them all? What for? You want to change something?
That's the point. Yeah. Why do we want to change? What is it in us that wants this constant change?
You are dissatisfied with yourself, first of all.
Not consciously.
No.
It's a funny thing. I feel very good. I feel relatively little to complain about.
And yet you do.
And yet
you see the paradox.
I see.
You are not as contented as you say you are, as satisfied as you are. But something there demands that all is not right there. That's why, you see, you want to bring about a change. And who is responsible for that demand to change there? That is what I am saying. The culture, the society has placed before you that you should be like that. You ought to be like that. Huh? You understand? So that you have accepted as, see, a model for yourself, you see.
What I'm trying to find is there something more inside?
There is no inner and outer. What I'm trying to say is that there is a feeling, there is a demand that there is something more interesting that you can do with yourself, more meaningful, more purposeful than your existence is today. You see, you know? That is the demand, you see. That is why there is this restlessness. You see, you become restless because of this drive in you, which is put in there by the society or culture, that makes you feel that there is something more interesting, more meaningful, more purposeful that your life can be than what it is today.
You're trying to find the naturalness of yourself?
No.
Just again, words, society is put
together. Exactly. The naturalness is destroyed by that demand, which is put in there by the culture. So then you see your life looks meaningless to you. If that is all that you can do, you have tried, you see, to fill in that boredom with everything possible. Now you have all these new gimmicks, you see, yoga, meditation, and all the psychological
reading books,
religious books. Alright, this is something, you see, new added on to the already existing things there. But you have not succeeded in freeing yourself from the boredom. See, that is the demand, you see. You are bored with your life, with your existence, because it is very repetitive. First of all, your physical needs are very well taken care of. You see, here, in this part of the world at least. So there is no need for you to spend any more energy to survive. See, that part is taken care of. So, when that is taken care of, the natural question that arises is a very simple question. Is that all that is there? Going to the office every morning, or just being a housewife, doing all the chores of the house, or sleeping, having sex, everything, you see. Is that all? See, it is that demand on your part that is being exploited by, you see, these holy men, you know. Is that all? You see, so those are one of the gimmicks that you are trying to fill the boredom there. You see, it's an empty, it's a bottomless cup, you see. It's not even a bottomless cup, it is a bottomless pit, you see. You can fill that all the time with every conceivable thing that you can imagine or the others can come out. But yet the boredom is a reality, is a fact. Sure. Otherwise you wouldn't do anything. You are just bored. Simply bored with doing the same thing again and again and again, and you don't see any meaning in this. Why
should... quite conscious of that boredom.
Huh?
You not quite conscious
of the boredom, because you are looking for something to free you from what is not there. That's all that I have been emphasizing all the time. The problem is not really the boredom. You are not conscious of the existence of boredom, either on your conscious level of your thinking or even on your conscious level of your existence. So that, you see, the attractiveness of those things to free yourself from the non-existing boredom has really created the boredom. And those things really cannot, you see, fill this boredom created by that. So it goes on and on and on and on. See, the newer and newer and newer techniques, methods, every year we have a new guru coming from India with a new gimmick, the new technique, some new therapy, you know, all kinds of things.
Now, all right, we'll talk about consciousness.
Yes, yes, I know you seem to know something about consciousness. You please tell me, what exactly do you mean by consciousness?
I don't know, I'm going to ask you that question.
Why are you asking me the question about consciousness? I'm not throwing a counter question at you. Yes, you have picked up that word somewhere, you see. You have picked up that somewhere. And so they are talking of expanding consciousness. You see, huh?
But in the form of, well, trying to get to know oneself better, trying to find the naturalness, all right, that society talks about.
The naturalness is something, the naturalness of yourself is something that you don't have to know. You just have to let that function in its own way. You understand? So, you are wanting to know that demands some know-how, see, which you want from somebody. See, the functioning of the heart is a natural thing. The functioning of all the organs in your body are very natural. They are not for one moment asking themselves the question, how am I functioning? The whole living organism has this tremendous intelligence which makes it function in a very natural way. So you have certain ideas of what that should act. You understand? So you have separated, you see, what you call life from that. What you call life is living, you see, which is in no way related to the functioning of this living organism. So naturally, you are asking the question, how to live? How to live is your problem. So you are looking for answers for how to live. You see, it is how to live that has really destroyed the natural way the whole thing is going on. So that is where the culture steps in, and this is the way you should act. This is the way you should live. This is the one and the only thing that is good for you and good for the society. So you want to change that, you see. Something there. What is it that you want to change there? That's all that I'm asking.
Oh, wish I knew.
You will never know, but and yet you will never know. So what is it that you are trying now? See, don't you see the absurdity of what you are doing? All this search, you see, So I always give you, see, my pet simile. We all take it for granted that there is such a thing as a horizon there. So if you look at that and say that it is a horizon, it sounds very simple to you. But you forget that, you see, the physical limitation, the limitation of your physical eye fixes that point there, and it calls it horizon. So you are moving in the direction of horizon. The more you move in the direction, the faster you move in the direction with the aid of all these mechanical means, like, you know, the Concords, you know, supersonic planes, the more it is moving farther and farther and farther away. So instead of finding out what is it that is limiting your physical capacity to see, instead of bothering your head, breaking your head over that, of capturing that, then you will be able to understand the limitations of this and not bother about that. You see, that doesn't exist at all. See, what you are stuck with is only the limitation. So I give also another example, you see, of trying to overtake your shadow. I don't know, you see, as children we always played this game, you know, trying to overtake all the other boys running with you, everybody trying to overtake his own shadow. It never occurred to us then, you see, that it is this body that is casting this shadow there, and you are wanting to overtake that shadow is an absurd game that you are playing. You can run for miles and miles and miles. You know the story of Alice in Wonderland. The Red Queen, you see, has to run faster and faster and faster in order to keep still where she is. You see, that's exactly what you are all doing. Running faster and faster and faster, but you are not moving anywhere. You see, all that you are doing to find exactly where you are. This is not moving at all. So that gives you the feeling that you are working something, you are doing something to achieve your goal. Not knowing very well that what you are doing is totally unrelated to the natural functioning of this body, and you want to act in a natural way. You are not acting in a natural way because the ideal you have placed before you, which you have accepted but placed before you by the culture, has falsified the natural actions here. You are frightened of acting in a very natural way because you have been told that that is the way you should act, you ought to act. So, physical perfection is one of the means. I am not saying anything against yoga. Please don't get me wrong. I am not saying anything against meditation. Do meditation, do yoga. There are all certain palliatives. You see, if you want to keep your body supple, do it. You see. So a supple body is better than a stiff body. See, you know. One day your body that's all right. So you see, instead of creating tensions all the time, you see, meditation gives you relief from your tensions. Do it. But you see, I'm suggesting, don't forget that it is the meditation that is creating all the tensions. You first create a problem and then you try to solve the problem. It's all right, but thank God you are not doing it very seriously. You know, that's the only hope you have. If you very seriously meditate, you are in trouble. You see, you will go crazy. Or if you try to practice this awareness all the time, in your conscious as well as unconscious levels, you will be really in trouble. You will end up in the loony bin there. You see, singing loony tunes and merry melodies. Now you can learn the new songs from India and Hare Krishna songs and sing and enjoy. That's all right, but don't do that, because it's something like trying to walk, watching every step you take. You see, you are in trouble. You will not be able to walk at all.